Would you please hold the goddamn hammering now?
No more trash talk.
Hammer time! NOLA Trash Talk, 230. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
I'm Steve McGee.
Shane O'Mac.
We're back in Mid-City, the post-Mardi Gras episode, NOLA Trash Talk, March 10th, 2019, with a kind of the halftime show between your Mardi Gras and St. Paddy's weekends. And if you didn't catch on, our really poor sense of humor, somebody got beat to death with a hammer in Tarrytown. A couple of kids and this guy's girlfriend.
I was going to say, how many Bill Murray intros do we have?
Too many.
Yeah, a lot.
Too many. I thought it was, of course, this is a tragic thing that happened out there in Tarrytown. This guy took a hammer to kids in the bed, Lizzie Borden style, with the family members in the bed, just whacked them. And then the girlfriend came home and got her, too. He's already been apprehended, blah, 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 death penalty, most likely.
What kind of hammer was it?
You know what?
Like, you know, like little ballpoint, ball peen hammers?
I'm assuming it's the most common hammer you can find. How prescient was it, though, that last week I bitched about kids the entire episode regarding annoyances on the Mardi Gras routes?
I heard some commentary about that, too.
And then lo and behold, some guy beat some kids to death with a hammer a couple days later. And we also missed, because when we recorded our Mardi Gras show right before Endymion last week, we missed the drunk driver running over the bicyclist on Esplanade. We didn't get to talk about that as well.
Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, God.
But
makes me so happy.
How was everybody's Mardi Gras?
God, just bartending.
You guys worked, huh?
Yeah, just worked. We were, we were bartending Saturday before Mardi Gras. So we started at 8. We got done at 5 a.m. and then had to sleep in the bar to open up at 6 a.m. for Toth.
Yeah, so, never want to do that again.
I'm never doing that again. It was like an 18-hour bartending
shift. I was asked to work at a bar for Mardi Gras.
Which one?
And I said no. For the Toth parade.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you know, Amy Winehouse, no.
So, it was supposed to be awful weather, though, but it ended up being, like, somewhat nice.
They said it was going to rain.
It still rained out the middle parades, though.
Right.
Yeah, but they said the same thing about it last year. I remember they said it was going to be really bad, and it didn't end up being that bad. They said it was going to rain on Toth, so they didn't bring any marching bands, and it cut the parade by like half. So it destroyed the bar because we made like half as much in sales as we did last year. So yeah, it just like
sped because it just wasn't that. It was just sped up, right?
It was sped up, yeah, because the marching band was like, no, we're not going to play in the rain. Are you out of your mind?
Steve, did you catch any parades?
I caught Crew de Vue, and then I caught the Crew of St. Anne. Do you know how I did that?
How did you do that? Crew of St. Anne, what is
Crew
that?
Crew of St. Anne is a bunch of, oh God, how to describe this? A bunch of fagatitos.
Oh, Jesus.
Who go from Elysian Fields all the way through to Marigny, all the way through the quarter on Mardi Gras Day. So, wake up on Mardi Gras Day, and it's a beautiful day. Like, it's kind of chilly, but like still.
It was a beautiful day.
Beautiful.
I heard people got sunburned Mardi Gras Day.
It was a.
I did.
So
my face is still peeling.
I sat at work all day.
we woke up and I was like, let's just go to the quarter and go to grandma's house. And you know, on Mardi Gras Day, if you don't get rolling early to get down there, you're never gonna find a parking spot.
That's why
in years past I've always just dropped her off.
Can you believe last night I parked in the quarter?
Oof. Jeez.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I was transitioning from Mid-City. People wanted to go to the quarter, and I didn't want to go all the way around to my parking garage in the CBD. I was like, you know what? I'll chance it. I'll find parking.
So the St. Anne Parade, it's a walking parade, but they have like some like you know, whatever made up floats, little small things. Well, I dropped off wife and baby Bertha at grandma's house, and then the parade is going down Royal, so they're not letting me through, and there's no parking anywhere.
Oh, you were in your car?
Stop. I was in, yeah. So I dropped them off, like got them in the house, you know, and I'm in the car and I was like, oh, I'm never going to do this. So it took me 20 minutes to just
see. I asked Steve like a parade story to be like, what cool parades did you watch? Because I assumed he didn't see any. And now he's just telling me a story about how he sat in a car.
Well, it gets better.
Being blocked by a parade.
So
this is not exactly
there, what I was crapping my way through. I was like, all right. So I got through and I was like, what am I going to do with this car? So I was perusing around for like 20 or 25 minutes and I knew it was a possibility that I wasn't going to be able to park. I go to Robert on Elysian Fields and I get a call from my wife. She's like, you're never going to believe this. Somebody just left a spot right outside my grandma's house.
Yeah, but you were at Elysian Fields.
Right. So I had to race all the way back down, come through the back way to barracks. There's somebody in front of me, but my wife was out there
with cones and
with
stuff.
Like cones.
Oh, yeah, you can't do
the,
that.
And the hippies. And she was like, look, you know, my like. And so she told these hippie people who were
was
in
she
the parade.
Holding your baby? That would have made
sort it. Of.
Yeah.
She was like, look, you know, really need a spot. And the hippie people put their float in that parking spot right before the stop sign so that nobody would take it. And I got there in like 8 minutes, scooted right in, okay? And, like, luckily, like, she has a small little SUV that you can just kind of, like, got right in. It was just, like, the best feeling ever of the parking
okay,
spot.
Okay, so did you see the parade at all?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Because now that you parked at the parade.
Yeah, no. I mean, because it goes right down Royal, so we just watched it. And there was, hold on, I'm sorry. Then, but like this sea of people do not let cars through. So the fact that I got let through.
Mardi Gras day of the quarter.
Oh my gosh. This guy. Okay. I don't have a video of it. I should have because I had to do some stuff for work. I sent Shane a Mac a video. And I sent him. Okay. So do you want me to play you this? This is the video that I'm looking at.
What exactly happens?
So this is me just gloating in the fact that I got this spot. And these cars are not going fucking anywhere.
Of course.
All right, hold up.
So we got this spot right here. You see Brittany's car. And you can see that truck and that SUV are not going anywhere. Where are you going? Nowhere.
And there's your car in the parking spot.
I still can't believe that we got that spot right there.
In the middle of all the lunacy,
yeah.
He called me on Mardi Gras Day to tell me that. I was like, I don't believe you. He's like, okay. He sent me that video. I was like, this is the biggest miracle I've ever heard.
So this guy was getting so frustrated because it had been like 20 minutes, these cars here. And this dude in a whatever car that was, like the Jeep, laid on his horn for like 15 minutes.
What is that going to accomplish?
Nothing. You know what the hippie for me, man, they just turned up the music at the Golden Lantern. They just turned the music up to just drown out the horn.
You know, honking at people's how you get shot.
It's ridiculous.
We had two highway shootings, by the way, during Mardi Gras. People getting shot on one block, one closed down the 610, and one was on I-10.
Oh, that was on Mardi Gras Day.
Yeah,
it was later, way later on.
Right, because we were coming home and we went that way, and there was nobody on the other side of 610.
Right, I saw the cop cars.
Yeah,
and yes, I saw it.
I didn't see like
that
anything.
Was a standoff with the SWAT team.
Right, but when I just saw all the cop cars with no traffic, I was like, oh yeah, somebody died. Yeah, so that's
what I thought at first because when they report it, there's like 610 is closed due to an incident.
Yeah.
They don't say accident. They say incident. Yeah. But it was a standoff with a guy barricaded in his house who was firing at the SWAT team.
That's crazy. Well, so we...
Ironically, though, the other direction of 610 was fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we were looking at. There's no traffic in cop cars.
So we got in the quarter, and it's just, you know, baby Bertha and wife watching parade. Well, parade is going on for whatever. Grandma says, look, why don't you guys just go walk around and I'll watch baby Bertha? So, of course, my wife is like, oh, well, you know, we can just go to the VIP party on the Royal Sonesta.
Oh, Jesus.
The balcony.
Oh, by the way.
So, this is the video I took from the balcony.
Yeah, we're watching Steve's video here. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, seemed like a real nice day, Steve.
I was
free
next,
parking, balcony parties.
So this guy I was next to was like that's where the news camera footage is, right? Mm-hmm. and I was being legit news guy. Legit news guy. This just in, daddy. Apparently. And there's these kids across the way and just had signs that say, show your tits.
I heard some news broadcasts where they're doing like, we're live on Bourbon Street, Mardi Gras Day. And in the background is like Chopper style, unedited, with N-bombs being dropped.
Awesome.
Like, oh, they can't fix that in post. So going back to your parking your car story, before that you said you caught some flack on some content from last week's episode where we talked about the annoying things on the parade route. Not so ladders and tarps and tents.
There is a contingency of people that listen to this podcast at my local friendly bar. And
I was so mad, by the way, after recording that I was riled up about it. I walked out on Endymion and everything I had just bitched about was all true.
Oh God, it was happening to you?
And when I left Endymion, I was just like white knuckling it like down St. Charles.
Oh God.
And I was just like, I want this to be over now.
I felt bad because after I couldn't hang out with the Prophet for Endymion. I had to get back home, yada, yada, yada. But
I want to know, though.
The contingency of people at the local watering hole, all in agreement. Everybody.
Oh, good, good. I didn't want to be the asshole that hates kids.
It was 10 for 10.
Where's the hashtag to fix this?
I wonder if any ladders got collected as promised by the mayor.
Oh, no. There's a group of people that are like the white knights of Mardi Gras that collect ladders themselves.
Oh my God.
And that's what I was talking about last week, there's this lady, there's a picture of this lady, and she looks like somebody who would go collect ladders. Just a hateable woman. And there's this group of people that'll go like down St. Charles Avenue and just collect ladders. But like in the neutral ground. It's not on their property. If it's on your property, I get it.
So they're not like, they're not delegated to do this by the mayor. They don't put it upon themselves.
No. And that's what I'm saying is that like,
it's just like a community, like neighborhood watch.
Yes.
That's what I was like. You have no jurisdiction here.
I was like
the Cajun Navy.
Could you imagine taking somebody from Chalmette's ladder and getting the shit kicked out of you for good measure because you're stealing somebody's property?
See, this goes back to sitting in traffic behind somebody. Don't honk your horn. You're going to get shot. Hey, if someone's ladder's in your way or something, don't touch it. You're going to get shot.
I mean, if there was a news report that the lady who was leading the charge, whatever her name was, I can't remember it. It was in the article. If there was a news article that said this lady got assaulted and battered within an inch of her life, not one tear from me. All smiles.
That's why, going back to how I started this episode with the hammering the children story in Tarrytown. By the way, the guy who did this was Terrence from Tarrytown. So it was Terry from Tarrytown. Terry from Tarrytown with the hammer. Anyway, when I first heard of it, because it happened like 4 days ago, and we were coming off of the last Endymion episode, I thought, you know how that started? You know exactly how that went down in that house where mom wasn't home. That dude was stuck at the house with the two kids that aren't his.
Yeah.
If you guys don't knock that shit off, I'm coming in there.
He was also mad that he had to pronounce that name every time he was mad at her.
Wait, what's your name? What, Diriona? Diriona?
Okay, that's the victim. I'm going to have to pull that one.
He was just like, you know what? Hey, D, come over here. What?
What?
I know somewhere in my childhood I was like, dad came at me with a hammer at some point. It's got to be blocked out somewhere.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of fucked up. I should be making it was a triple homicide.
Yes, Steve. Triple homicide. But then remember what we used to introduce the show today.
Yeah. But, you know, I was thinking about myself, if you get hit by a hammer, you have.
They were sleeping. They
were
in
brain dead. You're done. You're done one time.
Well, I mean, if he's a professional hammer hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, he could just be wildly psycho swinging.
So the kids were in their cribs, and he just went, whop.
Yeah, it's like, as I said, Lizzie Borden style, when she went with her axe and chopped up her parents, and they were in the bed sleeping. But he went hammer time. So let's do the other tragedy of the Mardi Gras weekend with the Esplanade drunk driver, the son of a cop, Tashante Tony. Great name for a pop star.
Another son of a police officer?
I don't know. That really doesn't have that much to do with it, but he drunk drove into 9 people, killed 2 of them on Esplanade, and admitted to being drunk and having a problem immediately.
Oh my God!
I mean, so worse than the Endymion drunk driver because he killed people in this instant. The Endymion guy hit more people.
But this guy. All right. So where on Esplanade was this?
Toshante. Let me pull it up. Esplanade drunk driver.
Gosh, man, we circumnavigated two murders.
And more. Two people shot last night in the quarter.
Oh, gosh.
I forgot to look up the missing.
So this is what I want to know. I'm serious. I want to know, were the bicycle people riding their bikes the wrong way in Esplanade or the right way?
I think they were going the right way.
Okay. Well, then, R.I.P.
Yeah. I don't have the exact location, Steve, but it's on Esplanade after Endymion.
Right. All right. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can gauge from these photos, their ghost bike candlelight vigil.
Okay, I know where it is, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy because one of the wife's friends lives right around the corner from there, and she always bikes for Endymion, but she's in Europe for work right now.
Of course, like the next day, I went over to someone's house and we were drinking before we went out for one of the parades, and I ran into someone who was friends with someone who just got killed. So I couldn't say anything.
Yeah, Shane O'Mac, didn't you have a connection with old girl who got shot in the neck?
Yeah, Julie Cuvier. That was the most tragic thing. This girl is like everyone knew her.
This was the nurse that got shot on Bourbon
Street. Everybody knows her because she was like the sweetest woman ever and friends with everybody, and she never goes out. And then she happened just to be walking down the street by a Willie's.
3 a.m.?
Yeah, but, like, she's out with some friends. Like, you know, she's walking by a Willie's when it's getting robbed, and they're fighting off the gun from the security guard. Shoots right through the window, right in the head.
She was over here, and then she's over here now in the casket.
Well, last night's shooting is in the 400 block of a Bourbon. Some shots went off, and that is right where they have the big construction bottleneck.
Right.
So you know that just that frustration of being crammed all together on
it's on Conti, right?
It's right. Yeah, right there.
It's right by the Bombay Club.
It was right by there.
I was at Aaron Rose last night.
The funeral for her was like city blocks long. It was the biggest funeral I've ever seen.
Was that because it was a big story, or she was popular?
It was a huge story, and she was that popular. Fox 8 covered it like every day for a week. And, like, she left behind a 20-year-old daughter who I suppose is still, like, paying for her education. They started a GoFundMe, like, thousands and thousands of dollars for her. So.
Does everyone who has...
She had a 20-year-old daughter.
Yeah, I believe so.
She was 34.
She was looking after a 20-year-old. I mean, it might not be your daughter, but I know that she...
Do you think all these people that had tragedies happen to them like 20 and 30 years ago feel really pissed that now there's GoFundMes?
Yes.
How much money everyone's missed out on from every tragedy? Like, if the astronauts who blew up in the Challenger's families could have GoFundMe pages,
dude, there was
the hundreds of thousands of dollars they could have made.
There was a comedian like 3 or 4 years ago who faked having leukemia to get on Ellen and have HBO do a special, and his GoFundMe had like 400,000 in it.
My favorite is the homeless guy. This couple fabricated the story with the homeless guy, and they started a GoFundMe. I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars, probably in the hundreds of thousands.
It was $800,000.
$800,000.
And everybody was in on the collusion. Like.
Right. The couple were in on it, and they all like split
up.
Oh,
yeah, I remember this.
That's the funniest.
Here's a question for y'all. Are there more homeless people recently?
Yes.
Because I've said everywhere, and I knew there would be an influx from Mardi Gras. Does Mardi Gras bring in more homeless people, or does Mardi Gras create more homeless people?
I don't know. I mean,
I've just
the
noticed
only
it.
Reason why,
and they're more aggressive.
That we have nice.
That's how I know
here.
they're out of town.
There also needs to be a documentary on the tent community on the overpass going into downtown. It's just a like. Dozens and dozens
Which
of
one?
Tents on Claiborne.
All right, so there's another one that goes off to the West Bank too.
It's a it's a 10-year.
They've always had that though. They clear it out.
Yeah,
after
there's
a couple...
another one around the corner from here too.
Right, I want to interview these cats though. Because
no, you don't. Don't
they
go
have
over.
A lot of possessions.
Stay far away from that. There's this like thing on next to Lucy's, this like, little parking garage thing that's like right one block from Lucy's. You know,
yeah,
that
where
little...
you park your car?
No. Right next to Lucy's. That garage. It's not a garage. It's just like where.
Oh, yeah, like,
that under area. Mm. There's like a bunch of homeless guys that just like set up shop in there, and people randomly park their cars in there. I don't know what like who's allowed to be there, but they are just
no one.
They're just back there. I don't know what that space is for. And so you have like Lucy's getting all crowded over the weekends, and then you've got sketchy ass talking to themselves like homeless guys all just huddled up in that spot. Like, this is a dangerous situation.
When you came here, did you get off at City Park Avenue?
Yeah, because I was in Metairie.
Did you
first.
See Lieutenant Dan?
That
I keep telling you about?
No, I didn't. I was coming the other way.
The retired lieutenant in the Marines who's out there, like with a sign like "retired lieutenant in the Marines, can't get any work, give me food," and he's in his fatigues.
Okay,
this dude's
actually probably not real.
Dude, no, it's completely out of his mind.
Yeah, I was passing by with a friend of mine in the military, and he rolled down the window and verbally assaulted. This guy was wearing like an army hat, a marine uniform, like a navy emblem.
It wasn't clean and freshly pressed, was
it? No, he's wearing like New Balances. Like it was the most infuriating thing. Just wearing everything. Everything's untucked, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm Colonel." I'm like, "No, you're not. Get out of here, dude." But like he, people were getting really mad at him for stolen valor.
I've just noticed more aggressive homeless, not the usual like people that are standing there with signs at major exits. I'm just noticing more aggressive homeless.
It's not really stolen valor though.
It is because you're.
But if
you're
he's claiming to be something
it,
he's not.
You're exploiting it to
right.
get money.
It's only exploiting it if you do it in like an airport. Like if you're a schizophrenic homeless person, like you're not stealing anybody's valor. We right. all know you're an idiot.
But you can't collect profits by posing as a military person.
Profit is not in these people's vocabulary, hence well, you homeless.
Can't, you can't gain monetary value on the false pretense that you were...
How poor is military training where a portion of them become crazy homeless people?
Oh, you were talking about...
Shouldn't they train people in the military? Here's what happens when you become homeless.
Yes.
how to conduct yourself.
And the VA is not that good either.
You were talking about how they're becoming more aggressive. There's one on Leek and Oak. This dude hangs by the stop sign where you turn to get on River Road, turn left.
Yeah, wow, he's all the way out there.
He jumped in front of my car. And I just kept like inching forward until he moved out the way. And then I look back, he's jumping in front of everyone's car who goes in front of the stop sign.
That's the thing. But I've noticed it everywhere. They're just more engaging. They're more like get in your face.
And then your boy, hold on, I'm sorry.
There's been an increase in like the last, I'd say, 4 months.
Yeah.
There's this cat who walks around with a guitar like fucking North, okay? And he busts out his guitar, and he's going out into Lakeview now, like on Canal and Harrison, and he's out there playing a guitar.
You Lakeview people won't let that happen.
He was out there for like 2 days, and I'm like, no way I'm going to see this guy here a third day. Mm-mm. The motherfucker was gone because you know good and damn well somebody called somebody and said, not happening.
Steve was telling me he saw somebody on Carrollton in a suit telling people to not give money to the homeless people. Like
yes. No, that was here.
He was right on Carrollton.
No, we talked about
good
that.
Good for him.
He's like, he's even out there in the rain in a suit.
He was out there in the rain with a suit and he had like a little like head umbrella joint on. And like his sign said, "Don't give these animals or don't feed the animals."
Oh, good for him!
So
he's a national
funny.
Hero.
I don't know what happened to him either. I couldn't believe that. Again, like my office is very near where City Park and Canal intersect, so there's just like all four corners, like they got it. And the times that I've seen crazy shit, I'm like, why can't I have Google Glasses just to be like, record, record, record?
But the thing is that this is the catch-22 I'm always stuck in, is when I see them and they're getting more aggressive, like I want to flip out on them, like I've mentioned before with Squeegee Man at the Poitras exit ramp by the Superdome.
Oh, God.
So like funny. I want to you know get out of my car and beat him to death with a squeegee. But like those thoughts are all countered by these people are psycho and like.
Right.
Some white knight will jump in and help them, and it goes back to like you can't honk your horn because you'll get shot. You just kind of got to like keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, and just get to the next intersection. So
like prison.
So Shane and Mac,
great, wonderful, free city living prison.
We were discussing what could possibly offend us, and it's like very little. But he brought up the fact that he was offended that somebody put AIDS water on his car and tried to wipe his windows.
Shane, how would you react? The squeegee man just starts wiping the back of your car.
It's a hepatitis B water.
Where I'm thinking like it's some kind of like extortion. Where if he wins the game of starting to wipe the car down, I have to pay him.
I don't know. If my crazy older brother would have gotten out of the car.
Dan.
Dan would have went.
I thought of all the other people I know that would have jumped out of the car and made a scene.
Dan's like favorite hobby is waiting for an instance to get out of the car.
This would have been one of them.
This would have been one.
I never get mad when I'm driving.
We were talking about like if you get out the car and kick the shit out of this guy, are people going to applaud you or are they going to like shame you because how dare you do this to a guy who's trying to make. You know, a buck with his AIDS water.
Well, no, this is what happens. They get you on their camera. It becomes viral and you get arrested.
Yeah, so you look like you stomped a homeless guy's cake.
That's why I would just want to say the meanest things to them. OP. Not like bad language, just being like nobody loves you. Society's forgotten you. I just want to say some kind of subversive shit to them and then just mosey on.
Nothing
threatening. Just like a flat, like you're ugly.
I don't mind like giving them money, but just don't have this generic "God bless anything helps" thing. Get a sign that says "I bet you can't hit me with a quarter." That's hilarious. I'm gonna take all my change and pelt you.
The cuter their signs are, the more mad I get, because you could be taking that energy and being clever elsewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, like at least where
at the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah, sure. Put the homeless guy up at open mic.
At least, like, make me laugh and I'll give it to you. Like, guy with the sign, need money for ray gun when the aliens attack. Absolutely. Here's a 20.
Oh, God. Don't give them a $20.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
No.
It's hilarious.
No.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you want to see what happened if you were to engage, you just Google cake stomp Opie and Anthony and you'll see.
I'm not going to engage because they're fucking. They get nothing to lose. They're like jokers. You can't do anything to them because they'll just fucking.
That shit happened like 12 years ago, and he's still getting heat from it. This is ridiculous.
If I was homeless, I would just rob. I would just like rob a store or something. Go to jail, get a bed and 3 meals.
That's what they do.
A lot of people do that.
I know
people love jail.
It's just hard. It's like hard to process people that are schizophrenic because you're like. How do you process somebody who has
all right.
no Here's, identity?
I'm going to jump in here and say not all of them are schizophrenic. And also, like, probably being homeless for a long time is going to make you crazy, but that doesn't mean you're schizophrenic.
Right, but like,
you're just adjusted to a different reality.
How do you process somebody with no identity?
How do you process someone that doesn't care? Like, how do you process, let's go back to the Joker thing. How do you process somebody who's just like, well, some people just want to watch the world burn? Like, how do you can't.
Is that how he said it?
But like some crazy person that's just willing to do anything. What are you gonna? He's
People
gonna
just
suddenly
want to watch the world burn.
Suddenly gonna just behave in a little jail cell and be thrilled to get his 3 square meals.
Yeah, you can't control these kind of people, but you would think that the meth lady down the street from here, you would think that she would go that route, but she's like, nah.
She can't get the meth, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. I need my meth.
Speaking of meth. Isn't meth a functional drug? Does it make you like super fast? You process everything and like you could go chop wood for like 6 hours?
Our mom, she's retiring from dental hygiene this May and she'd been doing it for.
Oh my God, is this a meth mouth story?
Like nearly 40 years. Steve was her assistant at one time and she just didn't care. Like when people would come in to get their teeth clean, she'd be like, you should probably stop smoking meth.
Ugh.
Like she's like meth mouth. She became like a professional. She could just spot it out. I mean, it's not hard to spot out, but it's like when you just look at what it does to your gums, your teeth, she's like, you need to stop this shit. And like Steve has experience seeing all that and it's so bad. And it just like, it sinks your face in.
I don't get it. But it's like, hey, you want to be an ugly person? Like, the, one of the most important, like, features in selling yourself to the world is having a decent-looking face, and like, you want to purposely ruin that with toxic meth smoke.
Or Mountain Dew.
Like, Steve, when you were a hygienal, when you were a hygienal assistant, like, how much meth
hygienal?
Mouth? Hygienal? Is that what you say, hygienal assistant?
A dental assistant.
Hygienal?
Well, mom's not a...
Right, is it that you're a dental assistant? Yeah.
You were a dental assistant, okay.
Yeah, because so you do assist doctors, too.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were just helping mom, but how much meth mouth?
Well, I didn't see any meth mouth because that was like a more like the shitty teeth we saw were more like the Mexican folks in the mushroom farms. Yeah. And they were okay. They're just like, oh, your mouth is full of cavities. But the one thing I did see, when I was 17, and this is why I never did coke, was this chick came in and like one part of her nose was like indented in. And the reason why is because she took a bad hit of coke that had like heroin in it or something. Oh. And it fucked up her nasal cavity so bad that they couldn't even repair it surgically. And then I found out who Artie Lang was. And I'm like, how the fuck can this guy snort heroin and still be alive?
Well, it's the quality. If you right. dirty coke with some other shit in it, well, yeah. can make your body react like food poisoning.
Her face like was like indented. Ugh. I did that, and then we had I think we had like an HIV or AIDS patient, and I was like, dog, I'm not doing that. I mean, like,
oh, what if it was Magic Johnson?
Oh, he don't have AIDS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's fake.
It has to be at this point.
Yep, that's a new conspiracy.
It's fake news.
I saw some story come out that like, the second person officially has been cured of AIDS or HIV.
That ass never had it.
Okay.
Oh, his name Charlie Sheen?
How did Charlie Sheen have okay. unprotected sex with the same porn star every day for a year and she doesn't have AIDS?
Luck.
It's a blood thing, man.
And it's an
imagine all the people that don't get laid but just got a bad transfusion in 1987.
I know it's you have to really try to get it like through heterosexual sex.
Or if you're Eazy-E.
Or if you're easy in the government.
What do you think all those cracked out homeless people have?
No, did you see the interview with Suge Knight?
He stabbed him. He gave him that AIDS pen.
He admitted it. He admitted it on a TV show.
Yeah, no. He started laughing about it. It was Jimmy Fallon.
He's on Jimmy Fallon. He's like, yeah, I gave him AIDS.
Jimmy Fallon was like, oh, geez.
That's a commercial.
Yeah.
That's funny that back then that was automatic death, but now you can live with it. No problem. Or they never had it, according to Steve.
Yeah, no. South Park tackles every issue well before it ever happens, and they tackle the Magic Johnson issue. You just inject a bunch of money inside you. You're good. They tackled the Michael Jackson thing 15 years ago with the same jokes.
I love
the
Michael Jackson story comes back just right. because it's on the streaming services.
Right.
So everybody has like, oh, a new free TV show to watch, and suddenly in the news, it's like everyone who works in media is kind of a weird word. All those people went home and watched the same TV show pretty much. And so then the news the next day was like, the Michael Jackson controversy is back in the headlines.
And like, the South Park guys are like, we did this already. We did the R. Kelly thing already. We did everything already.
What did we, and what's the
Simpsons
thing?
Did it. No, South
the
Park
Simpsons,
did it.
The Simpsons are pulling the season 3 episode with Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
Out of syndication. Like, what does that accomplish? By the way, I have that on DVD.
Just burn your history. You don't need it.
But it's like no 8-year-old watching The Simpsons for the first time has any context of like, I didn't even know it was Michael Jackson when you watch it, because the whole thing is he's a big fat bald guy in the show who's voiced by Michael Jackson and thinks he's Michael Jackson, but nobody believes it because he's you would have no idea. And people are, they're going to pull his music down from places, but no one cares. Well, who's somebody else recently that their music's getting pulled down?
Bon Scott.
Bon Scott? What? AC/DC?
No, I'm just kidding. No. I just said a random singer.
Oh, R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. Yeah.
R. Kelly.
I was thinking it.
Do you know what else is funny about that? His music getting quote pulled down. He doesn't even own 90% of his music. So you're not hurting his pockets by playing his music. Sony owns all of his shit.
Yeah,
what an idiot.
He should have kept it.
He said in his interview that he walked into a bank for the first time by himself in his life and found out that $300,000 were taken, and he had no idea.
Dude, after this, I'm going to show y'all a clip of them goofing on him. It's
okay.
Freaking hilarious. All right,
here's my thing about news in the world and shit that why I don't take it seriously. When headline news is R. Kelly I know the rest of the news isn't real.
I agree with
you 100%. If national news headlines, because I have to listen to the news every day at work, is like something, something, oh, we're having this summit in this country with this person, and oh, tax rates are changing, da-da-da-da, and R. Kelly is getting sued for child support, and he's in court. It's like, what? That's not news. That's not.
But then he got dropped in the closet.
But the girls that he lives with are totally brainwashed, and it's so obvious.
Yeah, that's fine. You know how many like underground, like cult things in Montana where some guy has like 12 concubine women living with them in gated communities all over the place?
Rajneesh.
Or I'm sorry, Utah with the whole weird Mormon
big
thing.
Big Love.
Yeah, Big Love, exactly. And those guys didn't have to make a bunch of records to get that.
Yeah.
They just brainwashed them old school.
I want to piss on you.
Oh, you're right, the Rajneesh.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, how old's that joke? 15 years now?
Exactly.
16 years?
Chappelle covered that again. I love it.
That's why when R. Kelly comes up again, it's like we've covered this. We how are people still like, how has he continued in the last 10 years? Same with who's the karate kicker? Who knocked Rihanna out? Chris Brown.
The guy, karate guys, kicker?
He like, you know, bicycle kicked Rihanna out of the charts. he's still touring and making money?
Dude,
is that going to come back around again?
There's a faction of Twitter where if you make fun of Chris Brown, there's like a faction of a million black chicks that will come after you. And be like,
yeah.
And like some of the things they say are
and
like,
they know that.
I will get hit by Chris Brown 80 times to be his girl.
Yeah, and that's what the R. Kelly chicks are. And if people want to do that, then just leave it alone. And then they want to spin it around and try to run this whole lawsuit suit game.
That's another ONA bit is when freaking Anthony gets into a fight with the Chris Brown followers. That's so fucking funny.
They're free to be as crazy as they want to be.
So funny.
My point is, it's not news for the rest of the world to give
it's
a
not,
shit about.
No, absolutely it's not. It never is. But 80% of the shit on the news is ridiculous and shit is not news. Because
R. Kelly is not. I don't wake up in the morning like, oh my God, what's going on with R. Kelly today?
The funniest thing about that story is that people sang I Believe I Can Fly at their fifth grade graduation. And the irony there is just overwhelming.
Oh,
that's the funniest thing about it.
Is that for us because that was the Space Jam year?
Yeah.
He didn't even write that song.
No, he didn't.
Steve Miller.
Exactly. I know, exactly. And he doesn't. He just performs, even when he's in Africa. Did you get your shots? Did you get your passport?
I saw a live clip of him.
He's trying to take kids from Africa.
I saw
back
a live clip
States.
Of him singing something like, when you're walking through the store, and he had a shopping cart on the stage and was pushing it across. And it's like, this is not real. This is a joke.
And then I found out he's illiterate, too.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
How does that? I'm just baffled.
When I lived
by
in
that.
Chicago, he was selling one of his houses, and some friends of friends knew the realtor and snuck in, and like went through the whole house, and it was like the holes in the ceiling, like puddles of, like it was a mansion in Chicago.
Wow!
But it was completely like pretty much they just like left one day, like they raptured out of there, and it just sat there for like years, and it was on the market.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, not only is he illiterate, he doesn't understand finances. How are you 52 years old and you walk into a bank for the first time and look at your account by yourself?
You deserve to not
and
be
realize
ripped off.
That hundreds of thousands of dollars was stolen from you. What an ass clown!
He
deserves that.
That's and if you care about it, you become like that psycho, paranoid, like Tony Montana person that you know is worried everyone's coming to get your money.
Yep.
But R. Kelly, yeah, not whatever's happens. I guess he deserves it. But
the other funny thing about R. Kelly's story is comedian Bob Kelly, aka Robert Kelly, has been getting a lot of flack from this.
Why? Because his Twitter handle is R. Kelly.
It's like Robert Kelly Live, and like people are like tweeting at him like, you piece of garbage, and like oh, he's like, I'm a white fat guy.
All right,
you got the wrong guy.
Didn't Ted Nugent like get parents to sign over custody of a daughter to their like 16-year-old daughter in the 70s to him?
70s is a weird thing because
Mick Jagger, same thing.
Elvis married Priscilla and she was like 14.
Jerry Lee Lewis married his own cousin.
Yeah, it was a weird time back then. I mean, it's still fucked up, but I don't know how to explain it.
What is right and wrong is purely and arbitrarily decided by like a random group of people, because we can take any instance and go back in time where it was fine. It was just like, well, this was okay, like beating kids. There was a time where like that was just, you know, you lived on a farm, you had 12 kids because half of them died of tuberculosis.
Well, this is not the time for you to justify your N-bomb dropping all the time.
No, I'm just picking another. And then just
I'm totally kidding.
Arbitrarily, one day someone said, well, this is wrong now. Just like how when technology came up to sell deodorant, that came along at a probably around the turn of the century where it said, oh, people smell bad. Now you need this to smell good. Before that, you know, it's like it didn't quite grasp that, and then it became, oh no. No, you smell terrible. You've always smelled you've got to have this product now. But I just everything is looked through the scope of what's going, I don't know. It poisons everything because these people are all getting judged on standards from like way back when by new people that weren't around.
Yeah. Like Kevin
people
Hart.
People walking into a movie halfway through and being like, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, well, you weren't here in the first half. Fuck off. Yeah, the Kevin Hart thing, the tweeting thing, that falls
down
to it.
It's the same thing. Speaking of people who should not be dropping N-bombs, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Dog Covington. Dog the Bounty Hunter, folks, got a new show coming to one of those like really sad channels that you watch during the day. Well, WGN, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So Dog the Bounty Hunter's back, and he captured a Louisiana fugitive facing child sex charges up in Covington. Covington, land of the child sex charges, Stephen.
Also land of the place where the North Korean Santa ran into him. And North Korean Santa runs into Dog the Bounty Hunter yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Dogs Most Wanted is the name of the show. What happened?
So he sees him and he's like, you know, I want to say hi to this guy. And Dog security come up to him and say, Dog don't take pictures.
Nice.
So the North Korean Santa said, why don't you picture Bofa?
Oh, God. Did he really not take pictures?
No.
Why not? He's a celebrity.
I don't know. I mean, I'll show you the picture afterwards, but.
Did he get a picture?
He didn't get a picture. No, he got a picture of him, like, being surrounded by his security to, like, validate his story. And it wasn't like I didn't believe him, but.
I like the fact that the child sex predator that Dog arrested in Covington, his last name is Sexton.
That's
great.
The name and the story, like, Terry from Terrytown. And Janelle Sexton, yeah, have been a theme today.
Yeah, Dogs Most Wanted on WGN. Filming episodes up on the North Shore.
I did not know that. I thought there was two states only you could do this in. I thought it was like Nevada and Hawaii.
Is it only Louisiana? Because this sounds like it's probably going to be all over the country.
Right, but states don't allow this kind of shit. Like, you need to be, let me see. Did the St. Tammany Parish, did they give him like a badge or something? They must have given him, like, some sort of badge to do the show, because it's like Steven Seagal, lawman, you know? Do you remember when he was riding around with the JPs, and they're like, this guy is the biggest ass clown ever.
So, with Dogs on the North Shore, it's his first time back to bounty hunting since his wife was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Jesus, you know who else got stage 4 cancer?
Alex Trebek. Yep.
Stage 4 pancreatic cancer, gets on TV and cracks jokes about, well, he can't die yet because he's in a 3-year contract to host Jeopardy. That guy is donezo.
Yeah. Do you think the president is an arrogant guy? Alex Trebek just beat him.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry.
I know you got to say that. We're going to beat this together.
No.
Someone tells me they got stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Like, see ya.
Wrap that up, son.
Yeah, you better be, you know, getting your affairs in order.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
Find out, setting up that will. I guess that is the benefit of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. It's like, you know, you pretty much got 4 months, and so you can set up exactly how you want.
Dude, it's like 3% survive that, because what it is like, it's already spread throughout your body.
And check
it,
like, you don't know you have it till it's stage 4.
Right.
It's the worst kind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be.
That's.
I think our grandfather died of that.
He had liver cancer.
Yeah, liver cancer.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, like it's just some random thing. You're like, oh, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're going to die in 6 weeks. And then you get on Jeopardy and you're like, I'm good. Don't worry about me.
Yeah. I just feel bad when people have to give that speech. Like, we're going to beat this together.
I mean, the professionalism of it was, like, incredible.
All right, well, we got to wrap out the post-Mardi Gras pre-St. Patty's NOLA Trash Talk, number 230. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McJeezy. We're going to have a good episode next week.
Next week, St. Patty's. Pick up the hammer.